Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is a recording of Sally dancing to a tune in 1942. And we have William Hazelgrove, author of Sally Rand, American Sex Symbol, with us on the phone. Good evening, William. How are you?
Oh, good evening.
Got a little Sally Rand going here. Had her on to tell the truth years and years and years and years ago. And, you know, there are some videos available of her on YouTube and around. And really enjoyed reading about your book. Sally Rand was the, describe what she did. You know better than I do. You can describe it better than I do.
Sure, and absolutely. Well, she's basically, she was a hillbilly, actually, from the Ozarks, who ran off to Hollywood, met Cecil B. DeMille. Talkies came. She was in silent movies and had to leave Hollywood, went to Chicago, and she ended up actually dancing at the Paramount Club with two giant ostrich feathers. But the Chicago World's Fair is going on in 1933, and she wants to be part of it. So what'd she do? She gets a white horse, a boat, puts white makeup all over her body, nothing else, gets on that horse, and the fair is on Norley Island for your listeners. And so then she gets off the boat on the horse, rides through the fair. This is the opening night. All the mucky mucks are there, crashes onto the stage. The horse rears up. Everybody takes her picture. She's immediately arrested, then immediately hired, and becomes the number one financial girl of Chicago World's Fair.
Immediately arrested and then immediately hired.
Yeah.
I like that.
She
put white makeup all over her body.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically all she had. I mean, she was only 5 foot tall. She was fearless. And Sally Rand had a knack of being able to put herself at the center of things. Right? So to set the stage, this is the worst year of the Great Depression. Okay. This is just a horrible time. Chicago, of course, decides we're going to put on a fair. And so they do this, and Sally Rand, you know, she busts onto the stage, and because the media machine was so strong at the fair, she becomes immensely famous overnight. And all right, so this dance that she does, this feather dance, is only 7 minutes long.
Right.
And she's naked behind the feathers, all right? But it's to Brahms under a blue light. And the question is, well, why did it become so popular? Because she ran for 40 years with this thing. And the reason it was popular was because for 7 minutes, people during the worst year of the Great Depression, kind of an oppressive time like we're living in now, they could escape. They didn't have Netflix, they didn't have TV, but they could go for 7 minutes and be gone and watch this woman dance under this blue light to this classical music.
Now, I read somewhere that, I mean, you sounded like you're positive that she was naked underneath it, but I read another places when I was getting ready for our interview that there was some question by some whether or not she was actually naked or not, because she never really revealed anything, did she?
No. Well, I mean, here's the thing, John, you can go on, as you said, you can go on YouTube and you can actually see clips of that dance, but also other clips of it where she's clearly naked. I mean, because you can see everything.
Well, I guess I must have missed those.
Yeah. You go back and look again. The thing is, she did have a sort of sheer bodysuit she would wear at various times. Okay. And she would use the same adhesives plastic surgeons use to make it just like your skin. So what would happen is when she'd get arrested in Chicago, okay, so she got arrested four times in one day for indecency, right? In one day. She gets hauled down to the judge. The judge finally says, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm going to see the show. He goes to see the show, comes out and says, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Never bring her back to my courtroom.
Wow. What got her to that point? What did she do before that?
Okay. She's really a story of the 20th century, the early 20th century. She wants to be famous. She runs away with the circus from the Ozarks. She wants to get the heck out of there.
She runs away from her home to join the circus?
Yeah, she joins the circus. It's the only way she could get across the country. So she gets all the way to what we would later call Hollywood. And there's this unknown producer, Cecil B. DeMille, right, who's hacking it out, trying to make silent movies. He takes her. Her name's Harriet Beck. He goes, "What's your name?" She goes, "Harriet Beck." He goes, "No, it's not. It's Sally Rand." He sees an Atlas in this office.
Rand McNally Atlas. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And so she actually starts to become a silent movie star. Right? So she's living this dream of becoming famous after running off of the circus. But the jazz singer comes, which brings talkies, right? Right. Warner Brothers took a big flyer on that movie, Al Jolson. And immediately she has to take a sound test because silent movies are dead. She has an Ozark accent and a lisp. Cecil B. DeMille says, "You're gone." She leaves, goes to Chicago, right? She's broke, sleeping in alleys, eating food off other eating food off other people's plates. And
And
she knows the World's Fair is coming. She goes to the trial at the Paramount Club with her feathers. Now these ostrich feathers are huge.
They're gigantic.
Yeah, 7 foot in diameter, 4 foot tall, and they're 7 pounds apiece.
Where does every time you say a sentence, another question pops into my mind. First of all, she wasn't naked in the Cecil B. DeMille silent movies, right?
No. She would have been if she could have been, because she she was a nudist. I mean, she would say, "What's wrong with the body?" And you know what? In this way, John, she really broke a lot of barriers for women. I mean, you can draw a line from her all the way up to Raquel Welch to Lady Gaga, because I'll give you listeners this. The reason movies are rated is because of Sally Rand.
Really?
That Mr. Hayes, when he created the Hayes office to rate these movies, he put a line in there, no fan dancing in a movie. because you know, she had gone into this movie Bolero and did her fan dance, and he was horrified. So he created a whole rating system for movies around her.
Didn't she have any notoriety or any money left over from these movies?
No. She was, she hadn't hit that level where she would start to cash in. And they didn't pay much then. I mean, these were in the infancy. So when she hits Chicago, she's broke, and she buys these feathers in a secondhand store on State Street.
Okay, and the secondhand store on State Street had ostrich feathers that were how big?
7 foot in diameter, 4 foot tall, okay? So the male ones, and they're 7 pounds apiece.
Wow.
And when she goes for her tryout at the Paramount Club, she has a little outfit, but it doesn't fit. And so this woman says to her, "Look, just go on naked. That's all you can do." So she does. And it works. She gets a job. Go figure, right?
Yeah.
And so now she's like, you know what? I want to be part of the World's Fair, because she always sees herself like a movie star who's going to return to Hollywood.
That 1933 World's Fair was huge. I mean,
Century of Progress.
Whoa.
20,000 people. It used as much power as the city of Madison, Wisconsin. It was monstrous, and it's all built on what we call Norley Island.
Right.
So it's just a little off, Chicago, and she wants to be part of it, but she actually cries out, and they say, "We don't need a fan dancer." And so that's when, on the opening night,
She got the horse.
Right, she gets the horse, the boat, crashes the fair, and you think about the guts it took to do this thing.
No doubt.
She bashes in, and she becomes, again, overnight, world famous, and does 17 shows a day, 7 minutes apiece, and people can't get enough of her.
Man.
They just can't, because it's sex, it's escapism, and but here's another thing too I should point out. Sally Rand has a girl next door quality to her that sort of transcends what she's actually doing. And I mean, almost she looks like the kind of your daughter would look, right? And people pick up on that too. Along with all the sexuality and everything else that went with it.
We're talking to William Hazelgrove, who has written a great book called Sally Rand, American's Sex Symbol. And we'll talk about that and some other things when we come back on 720 WGN.
Could I order a drink for you?
I'm afraid I must be getting ready for my number.
Yes, of course.
Good night.
Good night, Miss O'Connor.
720 WGN. That is a small clip from a 1938 film called A Sunset Murder, which Sally Rand is in, playing, guess what, a character who performs in a club. 720 WGN, John Landecker talking with William Hazelgrove, who was the author of Sally Rand, American Sex Symbol. So apparently she did give at least one shot at a talkie with that 1938 film, but apparently it did not go well.
Well, yeah, she came back and had her vehicle. Hollywood had kind of seen her famous from the fair, so they gave her this movie. And again, you know, I watched that movie, and it's just awful because she cannot talk, and the plot's terrible. And here's the worst thing, John. It comes out right when Gone with the Wind's coming out, you know, and then the studio goes bankrupt. But the real thing here is that even in that clip you played from To Tell the Truth, when she talks, it's almost like she's so shy she can't get it out. It's a strange dichotomy. It's this woman who takes off her clothes for years, comes across as shy and can't really emote. So her career as an actress never really catches back on.
So she goes on, though, as Sally Rand, and she performs this routine with either ostrich feathers or, I guess, she brought in balloons at
some
point.
She had a giant, actually it's a giant rubber ball that was translucent, and she would bounce this thing up and down. And so she would do, right, she would use it too. So after the fair is over, she goes on tour, essentially. It's not unlike a rock band that has a hit and goes on tour, and she's well paid. And this begins a career that spans 40 years. She's on To Tell the Truth in the 50s. In 1964, she dances for the Apollo astronauts at the Houston Coliseum.
Oh, in the right stuff.
In the right stuff.
Yes.
In the opening scene, right?
Sure, so, absolutely.
And that was an actress who played her that, but she was 60 years old when she did that. But they asked her to do that. And think about that. Because why? Because she's emblematic of flight, of leaving the Earth. And so for this mission to the moon, the biggest thing the United States did in the 1960s, they asked Sally Rand to headline it. So that's what, 31 years after the World's Fair?
Oh, at least, yeah. Wow. You know, She had a career and she made some money.
She made good money. I mean, she would lose it all. I mean, as she traveled around it, you know, there was a Tex Avery cartoon made up, which is the Looney Tune cartoons. It was all built around her. She was on The Dating Game. She had her own television show for a while. But, you know, what's fascinating about Sally Rand is that she was doing things nobody was doing. She had taken an act. She monetized it. And she was making money from it. She was her own manager, her own entrepreneur, you know. At a time when women didn't have a lot of these choices. So this act of crashing into the World's Fair launched her for a very long time. And I mean, all the, you know, her fans are actually in the basement of the Chicago History Museum. I've seen them.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. And there's all the media there. I mean, she was in everything. And, you know, just, she's sort of like this comet that just went across the sky and just, and as time went, yes, her act became more of a nostalgia act. You know, it wasn't
right.
It wasn't shocking to a lot of people. But she danced well into her 70s.
What happened to the money?
It just went out. I mean, she was continually in debt. She had three husbands who drained her. I mean, she was sort of the opposite of that movie, The Gold Diggers, where a young woman marries an older man. She was the one with the money, and these guys would drain her, bad, you know, a lot of bad business. But like a lot of people who were rich and famous, the rich part never quite materialized.
Right, yeah.
You know, and so,
you assume anybody that is that famous is going to be also very wealthy, but that's not necessarily the way it goes for a lot of people, as a matter of fact, who are in show business, so to speak.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. I mean, she had to write letters. She wrote letters every night from these hotels. She was constantly on the road. If she ever tried to put those feathers down, she couldn't make any money.
Wow. I saw there that she died August 31st in 1979 with an outstanding hospital bill of $10,000, which was paid by Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah. right? Because she had helped him on the way up. So at the end, you know, she was broke. And so, you know, he came in and anonymously paid it. Now Sally Rand is sort of interesting because when the fair ended, a millionaire bought her dressing room and put it up in his mansion on the North Shore where it sits
what?
Today. Yeah.
That's so, insane.
Know, who, yeah. Who, I mean,
who is this person? You have the name?
I don't.
It's in a house now?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, her feathers, which originally she wanted to donate to the Chicago History Museum in the 40s, and they said, you know what, we don't see any historical significance. Well, by the 60s, they wanted them. And so that's when she dropped off, and that's when the curator took me down into this huge refrigerated locker in the basement where they sit.
In a refrigerated locker, because the next question I was going to ask, was there only one set of ostrich feathers this entire time?
No, which is a great question. In fact, here's the deal. When she dropped them off, her son said to her, hey, were those really the feathers from 1933? She said, no, you know, I got those later, and I gave them to the History Museum. So, again, Sally Rand, who's the master of illusion of subterfuge, even then, you aren't quite sure, were those the real feathers? But for your listeners, I'll tell you something else. Right next to her feathers, the curator said, what do you think those are? And there's a pair of glasses. And I said, I don't know. He goes, those are Leopold's glasses from the Loeb and Leopold murder of Johnny Franks in the 1920s.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is really something. Maybe there has been, and I just haven't heard about it, but it would seem that this would be material for a biopic of some kind.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've gone over the high points. I mean, when she left the fair in 34, you'll love this story. She was taking a boat up to give a speech, and she gave speeches to all these women groups and stuff. The boat takes a turn in Lake Michigan at night. She flips out. The boat doesn't see her and keeps going. So she's floating around for hours out there in Lake Michigan after finishing up the Chicago World's Fair until the Coast Guard fished her out. And there's a great picture of her in the Chicago Tribune sitting there in a blanket all, you know, wet and everything. And I mean, and this kind of stuff happened to her constantly. You know, just
but there has not been a movie about her, has there?
No, there hasn't. I mean, she's really unknown in that way. I mean, here's another thing. Harvard asked her to speak to the incoming class.
Wow.
And she didn't finish high school, but she was self-taught. And she went in and gave the incoming freshman at Harvard a speech on how to be successful.
Amazing.
So you're pretty much in the American pantheon of, you know, hard knocks, pulling yourself up, Horatio Alger, rags
absolutely.
To riches.
Yeah.
You know.
Sounds like a movie to me. Well, thank you very much for being with us. We've been talking to William Hazelgrove. Get the book, Sally Rand, American Sex Symbol.